Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined by Christopher Stock once again. We've kind of neglected spring football here on the podcast, so I think it's time to get into things. Just some of our quick takeaways on offense and defense. We'll take the first half of the podcast, share some of our takeaways on offense, have a conversation about those things, take a break, then jump to the defensive side. Chris, how are we doing?
Doing well.
So yeah, I actually want to start here, Chris. Just before we started recording, some news kind of broke in the world of college football in the state of Florida that our listeners might find interesting. Randy Shannon has reportedly been added to the Florida State football staff as a defensive analyst. Just wanted, you know, curious what you make of that move. Do you find it interesting? Do you think it impacts things much at all with Florida State football and Florida State recruiting?
Sure. I mean, you've credited Randy Shannon for his recruiting locally here in South Florida. So if Florida State adding him to their staff, it certainly would help, you would think, you know, just with the ties that Randy has. And I think, you know, just going back on just remember covering Randy as a defensive coordinator, you know, he's always been credited for his work on the defensive side of the ball. So if he's able to add anything defensively, his expertise and experience would certainly be a benefit to the Florida State staff, just the way that Miami is excited about some of the analysts that they've added to their staff recently. So
sure.
You got to think it's a positive thing, especially for a guy that with experience, head coaching experience, to add in as an analyst is pretty impressive addition.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting move. You know, like you touched on, right, the Miami fan base being excited about the addition of Bob Shoop, right, who as defensive coordinator, he's been a defensive coordinator at schools like Penn State, Tennessee, Mississippi State. Randy Shannon obviously has similar pedigree, been a head coach at Miami, of course. But I find it interesting because, you know, quite frankly, I think he is a more qualified defensive coordinator than the defensive coordinator they currently have on staff and Adam Fuller. So if I'm Adam Fuller, I am certainly looking over my shoulder. So I think that's interesting. If things don't go well during the course of this 2021 season, FSU has an easy move to make when it comes to promoting Randy Shannon in that role. And then number two, you know, Florida State obviously does want to make a push recruiting wise into South Florida. And Randy Shannon, of course, has deep ties in the South Florida area. And so he would certainly help them in that regard. So just wanted to open with that. Kind of interesting breaking news here as we were pressing record. But yeah, let's get into some spring football takeaways, Chris. Offensive side of the ball. You and I both have a couple of talking points. We don't know what each other's talking points are going to be, but I'll give you the honors. Where do you want to start? Where do you want to go with this?
Well, I want to start with Tyler Van Dyke. You know, he's a guy that we've obviously talked about, and, you know, he's a guy that people have been excited about. And I think mentioned before, or, you know, just with different takeaways and things like that. But just the big takeaway I have with Tyler is, look, they liked him before. It just seems like they really like him now. You know, the staff, the players are speaking very highly of Tyler. Obviously, we've not been out there, but they really like him, and they like his toughness, his leadership. And I know these are some things that have come up before, but it just seems like they're really speaking highly of him more than before. And I think that's one of my big takeaways from the spring. And they've only had the one scrimmage so far. Again, stats come from UM. They were good on Tyler's points. So again, they didn't mention who had interceptions. So you don't know that, but you know, completion percent yards, and he threw a touchdown pass for whatever it's worth. Came back good. So, you know, I think that's kind of my big takeaway. And I will, you know, just kind of sprinkle in Jake Garcia played well in that scrimmage as well. And he's a guy, again, slowed with an injury to begin with. And I think it's a good sign that he's out there and he's able to perform against the defense. And I think that's a good sign too. So the quarterback position in general, but just really specifically is Tyler Van Dyke, that people seem to be really impressed with him, more speaking more highly about him than they did in the fall there.
I know I'm kind of expecting Tyler to be the backup this year. You know, I think that was probably the expectation going into spring. Are you ready to kind of just say that right now? Like, yeah, I'd be surprised if Tyler Van Dyke is not Derek King's backup this year.
Oh, he'll definitely be the backup. I don't think there's any question about it. I think he had the upper hand over Peyton going into this. You know, he's beaten him out before. And then Jake's just new. So you guys know that I like Jake Garcia's ability and his upside, but I just think it's going to be Tyler Van Dyke on the backup role. And I think it'll be important for Tyler to have a good summer, because again, everyone expects Derek King to be ready to go in that opener, but Tyler has to operate and work this summer like he is going to start. He needs to have that mentality, not sit back like he's going to be a backup. He's got to get it out of his head that Derek will be ready. He needs to really be ready for that game, and then we'll see what happens. And obviously, you know, there's no reason to think that Derek won't be out there based on what everyone's saying, but just it's a big offseason for Tyler.
I'll say this about Jake Garcia. You know, I do agree. Like, Tyler, there is some separation there right now at this moment, right? But Jake Garcia and you know, came out, put up impressive numbers in the scrimmage. I tried to ask around, like, you know, how much was he really working with the first team, second team, third team, et cetera. It sounded like, you know, the majority of his snaps were with those backup units, which should be expected. But I would not just gloss that over and overlook that. In my opinion, you know, at the college level, ballers ball, right? So you put Jake Garcia out there in his first ever college scrimmage, and whether he's going against second or third team guys, he's putting up numbers. He's finding a way to produce. And while that seems like that probably should happen, it doesn't always happen. So I think that is encouraging in terms of the quarterback battle that is shaping up for the 2022 season between Tyler and Jake. Now, can Tyler maintain that separation? That's going to be the big question, but I think everyone around UM was highly encouraged by what Jake Garcia showed in his first college scrimmage. Do you have anything to add there on Jake, or should we move on?
No, same kind of thing. Yes, producing always is important regardless of who's on the field, but also you got to take in consideration who he was throwing to. Sometimes you're going against backups, you're playing with backups as well. So I think it all works out. I'm just big on production, so that's definitely a good sign. And I do think, you know, Tyler will stay in that backup role. And I don't think that they'll ruffle any feathers on the coaching staff. I think the only thing that you'll see is, look, if Tyler's going to get that first crack, whenever that might be, you know,
sure.
And maybe it won't be all season, but I think the thing to watch for is Jake, if he gets opportunities, or if Tyler gets opportunities during the season, if he doesn't do well with him, Jake's certainly right there.
Yeah. I think this is kind of the scenario Miami wants at the quarterback position. You want kind of the older guys to have that separation. So you want the guys who are younger to feel like they have to work even harder, push even harder to overtake them. And that's kind of the position Jake Garcia is in, who probably is more talented than Tyler. But right now it is not a better college football player than Tyler. He's got to work hard to get to that point. So we'll see if he does get there. I want to get into the running back position, because I think Rhett Lashley made an interesting announcement. I think it was on the Joe Rose show. It was some local radio show where he was being interviewed. And he basically came out and said, you know, in 2021, this season, he wants a lead running back. He wants a featured back, a guy who they can count on. He threw out, I think, the 20 carry number, you know, somewhere in that 20 carry mark, with the running back position this year. I found that interesting because, you know, you don't really see coaches in general make that kind of proclamation with the running back position. It's kind of evolved over the years into a position where a lot of guys share carries. And that was definitely the case last year. I mean, Cam Harris was kind of the lead guy, but as the season progressed, the carry totals were kind of sprinkled more evenly. But Rhett Lashley said, you know, he wants to know who the guy is, who they can count on this year in a game. He feels like that helps them get in a rhythm, which helps them produce more. He also said, you know, you look at the college football playoff, all of those teams had a lead running back that offense knew it could count on. I'm curious, what did you make of that proclamation that Rhett Lashley made? And did you like it, Chris?
I think when he said it, I was a little surprised. Look, let's be honest. I think this is all shaping up to be in Don Chaney Jr.'s team at running back, to be honest with you. I think that's where this is headed. And I say that, it might be interesting if anyone's listened to whatever I've said. I've been very high on Jalen Knighton. I've said, and I still believe Cameron Harris was the best running back last year.
He was.
I just think this is shaping up to be Don Chaney Jr. because, like you said, he just mentioned he wanted a feature back. So if you look at all three of the guys and you're like, well, who's going to be the most suited for that? Jalen, because of his size, and maybe he's not able to do everything that you like from a running back in terms of going inside and maybe doing everything there. And then, so I think of that. And then I think about with Cameron Harris, you know, last year, some of the times when his carries started to dwindle or not get as much during a game, some of the time, you know, I think about there was one, you know, pass protection where he just missed it and then he just didn't get snapped. And I don't know if it was the rest of the game, but it was something noticeable. And I apologize for not knowing the exact game, but I think about that. And I just think, like, you know, just with Cam, they really did their best to sprinkle in the freshman. It felt like they were, I don't know, it almost felt like they were going away from Cam whenever they could. So I just think that's where they're headed with this. But again, I think Cameron Harris, his abilities, I like his abilities. I think he can bring things to the table.
Yes.
It just feels that way. And then, you know, and I do find it interesting because last year you had three backs and he wanted to rotate each guy in. They seemed to be okay with it every time they spoke publicly. And all three of them were at least, you know, with I take that back. With Cam, he dealt with that in high school. Jalen was a little bit split, a little bit in high school. Don was the feature back, although he did give up some carries in high school to other backs so they could limit his carries. So anyway, all three of the guys have dealt with not being the full on back getting all those carries. So I think they're a little bit used to it, but it's definitely interesting. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
Philosophically, do you agree with it? Like, do you think running backs are better when they know, hey, I'm guaranteed 15 to 20 carries? Because I think, I don't have the exact stats ahead in front of me, but I think Cam Harris might have gotten more than 15 carries maybe twice. And I want to say it was both the first two games of the season. I could be wrong on that, but he really didn't get many opportunities to get in a rhythm during the course of a game. Just in general, though, do you think that helps a running back be more productive?
To me, yes. I've always liked the one back thing. I understand why football is going away from that. I understand, you know, fresh legs and things like that. To me personally, on a philosophical point, I just like the feature back. I like the one guy, and I like the backup being ready to go whenever he gets his opportunity. I also, if that's how it's going to go for Miami, we heard Jonathan Patke mention the other day with Don Chaney and Jalen, particularly in the kick return game, we've just not seen that. I would like to see whoever's not the feature guy really get involved in the kick return game. I think, you know, Jalen, for example, could be used in the passing game a little bit. I think there's ways to use those running backs, but yes, me personally, I like getting a back, you know, the majority of the carries.
It seems like too, kind of the line of demarcation, if you will, like whether or not that the guy is kind of viewed as a feature back from a Miami perspective, you know, in recent years has been that 200 carry mark. And really, it's been kind of a minute since Miami's had a back carry the ball at least 200 times. I think Mark Walton was the last guy. I think the year before him, it was Joseph Yearby. And I think before him, Duke Johnson did it. So you had three straight years, but there's been kind of a dry spell of guys, you know, carrying the ball at least 200 times in a season. Rhett Lashley, during his career as an offensive coordinator, I think he's been an OC maybe 8 or 9 years. I think in six of those years, he's had a guy carry the ball at least 200 times. And every single one of those times, when a guy carries the ball at least 200 times, they're cracking 1,000 yards. And in general, that's been the case at Miami too, right? It's hard to not crack 1,000 yards if you're carrying it that many times. So I am excited by that, like you hinted. You know, it does seem like it's going to be Don Chaney's year. Just talking to people around Miami, it seems like he is taking things to another level this spring. We'll see how it looks in the spring game and if he can carry that into the season. But yes, I agree. A lot to be excited about with Don Chaney and this philosophy with kind of making someone a featured running back. So next topic, you got anything, Chris?
Yeah, just want to quickly add one more note on the Chaney thing. Look, this might not mean anything. Maybe it does. But in terms of players that the UM has made available to us, in terms of the running backs, it's only been Chaney. We've not been able to talk to Harris or Knighton. So I take mm-hmm. that for what it's worth. But nothing there. But I guess sticking with the offense, let's stay with the offensive line. I think for me, with the offensive line that's standing out, is it's really shaping up to being – you know, you're kind of seeing exactly how it's going to play out in terms of battles. And I think that's a little bit different, and I'll touch on the names, but in years past, it's always been, it seems like it's like, well, we're going to try a guy here at left tackle and then left guard and move right. to right guard and right tackle and over the spring. And then we'll see how it works out. And then it feels like that carries over to the fall. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a week before the game and you're kind of just now settling into spots. It feels like that's how it's been. However, this spring, you return a bunch of guys. I understand that. Offensive line coach back for his second year in Garen Justice. The way it's shaping out, look, it seems like Zion Nelson left tackle and then right tackle. They moved DJ Scaife over from right guard to right tackle in a battle with Jared Williams. That seems to be what it is. At left guard, it's going to be Jalen Rivers or Ja'Kai Clark. And then mm-hmm. center, you know, Corey Gaynor's back. And then at right guard, Navon Donaldson. It just feels like that's what it is. Those are the couple battles in there. I don't see it changing, but certainly it can. I think that's what stands out to me, that you're not hearing a lot of shifting around and these are the battles and this is what it is. And these really be our five guys and seven are competing.
So the number one thing I think obviously to touch on with the offensive line, top eight guys I think are back. That's obviously a big deal, but also too, and you hinted at it, you know, Garen Justice back as their offensive line coach. Miami hasn't had that in a minute. You know, I think it's the first time in what, three seasons maybe, that this has happened. And for a position group that depends so much on continuity, right? I think if there's one position in football that can maybe overcome any kind of lack of talent, so to speak, with continuity, with the way they play together, all that good stuff, it's offensive line. And, you know, having the same offensive line coach year over year certainly helps that. So I think that's something to touch on there too. You touched on, you know, kind of what the first team offensive line looks like at this point, Chris. Let me pin you down. What do you feel like is happening at those position battles, left guard and right tackle? So left guard, what do you feel like is happening there with Ja'Kai Clark and Jalen Rivers if you're reading between the lines?
I think, you know, based on what coaches said last year, they really want to give Jalen Rivers a look and they are backing that up. Even though he didn't play much last year, they like his talent and his ability, working hard and things like that. I think Ja'Kai Clark's got a chance to stay in that spot, maybe at least initially, but I know they like Jalen Rivers and he'll be ready to go. So, and I think maybe everyone would be quick to say Jalen's going to win that spot. And maybe that's how you feel too. I just think maybe that experience, I could see Ja'Kai staying in there. And kind of seeing how he does, but having Jalen ready to go. Right tackle, I think Jared Williams was a better player last year than DJ Scaife. I think DJ really struggled. I think the fact that they don't even want to essentially try him at guard, I think that when DJ spoke to us in the media saying he likes tackle a lot more than guard, I think that's over. So he's going to either be that rotating in at that tackle spot. I think that's more of his role. And he could play left if Zion's not able to, but I think Jared's going to win that. I'd be surprised if DJ outplayed Jared. I still cannot get over because we haven't seen it, but Jared's in his seventh collegiate season, which is incredible.
Yeah, crazy. So, okay, right guard, right? Navon Donaldson getting a lot of praise, right? What do you make of that?
It's good, but what stands out to me is how well he's moving. You know, Mike Harley came out and said, look, he's running, he's jogging, you know, into, or he's running, essentially means drills or different things, but he's actually moving well. And Navon said he's doing a lot better with his diet. And I, you know, when we talk about this with football players, you know, I always try to be a little bit more sensitive to the actual issue of, you know, weight and weight loss and things like that. I know we speak so technical with it, and especially with football. But I think it's good. It's good for Navon, and Navon, you know, just hearing him talk feels good about himself. And I think it's a good sign. I think he was their best offensive lineman when he's played a couple years ago. And I certainly think it'd be great. He feels good at right guard if they could flip him to left guard, but they seem to like how they have it now and either way. But I think, you know, he's healthy and ready to go. I think he'll start.
So I think one of my biggest issues the last 2 years in particular, and part of this is because they played younger guys that aren't as big and strong, right? And so I think this year's group obviously is older and bigger, stronger, been in the weight program, et cetera, for a few years now, have some experience for the most part across the line. So one of my biggest issues with the line the past couple of years is just in general, it was a finesse offensive line, right? They couldn't necessarily move people. And I think that was an issue we saw in some short yardage situations last year. Also kind of, you know, at end of games, couldn't really kill the clock when everyone in the building knew Miami wanted to run the ball, et cetera, et cetera. I am intrigued because it seems like things are trending towards putting Jalen Rivers in at left guard, who is a big-bodied athletic guy, 6'5", 325. And then, you know, right guard, Navon Donaldson, probably the biggest offensive lineman on the roster, 6'6", 345-ish range. So in theory, right, those two guys should be able to provide more push. Within that point, you know, you got another year of strength and development with Zion Nelson at left tackle. I think, you know, you mentioned it, Jared Williams being a seventh year guy, you know, obviously older, should be stronger. I think he honestly too was impacted by the fact that he didn't get a real off season in a strength program. He's kind of more naturally like a basketball build. And so he showed up at Miami basically late July, early August, and kind of had to, you know, focus on getting stronger, putting on weight in a short amount of time. Now he's kind of in that program for an entire off season, should be bigger, stronger, all that stuff as a seventh year guy too. So I'm curious on your take on that, Chris. Do you think, now I'm not coming out and saying like, yeah, this group's going to come out and maul guys. That, you know, I don't think you can flip a switch like that. But I do think this offensive line, there is potential that maybe they're kind of getting away from being a finesse group, you know, just due to a lack of size, strength, ability, quite honestly, the past 2 years. Do you think this group can take a step forward in that regard?
It's been something that I've been noticing, you know, with the transition of them making with this offense, and also just the way that Manny Diaz has been talking, the strength seems on the line seem to be a point of emphasis. You know, I remember last year, you know, going into the season opener against UAB, a team not in that Power Five conference, and just, you know, UAB had they averaged out a bigger offensive line, I think. And I pointed that out, and I think people were a little surprised because wait, why is Miami not, you know, why is it not them? And so I think that was a little bit surprising. And you mentioned, you know, they've got the ability to increase their strength up front. And I think it is going to be something. I think it's something also that, you know, with Rhett Lashley, I just keep going back to what we knew about him early on early on in the season last year when he talked about a power spread offense. They want to, I think they want to run the ball.
Yes.
They showed it early and then they just got away from it. They feel like it wasn't working the way they'd like. I think maybe when you start looking at the offensive line identity with things that you're talking about, maybe it wasn't exactly, maybe they didn't know where to go with it in terms of how they wanted their line to shape up. But look, if he really wants to implement a back going 20 carries, you know, really be able to run the ball, get to that identity more than they did in years, you know, than last year, they want to improve the offensive line. They've got some guys to increase their, change their identity in a way. And, you know, with starting up front. And then also, like I said, Chaney's the bigger back of the three. And I think that that just kind of goes in line with what it seems like that they want to do. And they got to run the ball better. Look, they were middle of the pack last year in the ACC. I think sometimes everyone looks at perception and what they think, how things are working and with whatever it might be at UM. But sometimes when you look at the numbers, you're like, well, why? It sounds like everything's great, but why are they average, you know, based on numbers?
Right.
So I think they've got to improve on their running game. I think this is a way to do that. And I think they are seeing that and it'll be interesting to see if that's indeed what they do.
Let me ask you this. I don't know like where I stand on this, quite frankly, but I think it's an interesting discussion. And then we'll take a break, move on to the defense. I think it, you know, it's been pretty obvious that the offensive line has been the weak link of the offense for how many years now, right? It's been many, many years where that's been the case here at Miami, at least 5 years, right? Do you feel like that is still the case with this year's offense? Do you still view them as the weak link for the attack?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think when you think about a strong offensive line, you think the 2013 one stands out to me. I think all five of those guys played in the NFL at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Linder, Chantrell, you know, those guys, Feliciano. And so as those guys kind of left the program, it really hasn't kicked back up. I think when you talk about maybe a strength, you look at this offensive line and you got to just look at like, can they be quality college guys? Cause I think when,
yes.
I think sometimes when you look at this, you're like, well, can any of these guys play in the NFL or will they get drafted? I don't know. I think Jared Williams would have left if he was confident he was going to be drafted, you know, last
right.
year. So maybe he could, I don't know. They like Zion. I know he's projected, you know, he's got a lot of playing time and things like that, but you know, I know.
I guess what I'm asking, what do you,
wide receiver group? I know.
Yes. Yeah. Who do you trust more, the O-line at this point or the wide receiver group? And honestly, I don't know. I don't know how I feel on that. And that probably speaks more to the wide receiver group, quite frankly, than like how good the offensive line is. But I'm curious, you know, how would you, I guess, where do you stand between those two groups?
Yeah. Man, that's tough. And I know, because when you're looking at receiver, you're like, okay, well, they've got some talent. Some guys do some good things, you know. You've got Mike Harley, you know, and I know the talk with Pope and Wiggins, they do have some assets. Rambo's got some speed. And then the young guys, you know, they flash, but yeah, it's hard to see. I guess with the receiver position, I just look at De'Aaron King as really being able to boost those guys. I think that's what we saw last year. Remember how last year, the beginning of the year, not a lot of production. And then all of a sudden they kind of got it going. Harley got it going.
Right.
De'Aaron was starting to find some deep guys. I think they've got enough speed and ability. While they might not be as well-rounded as you would like, I kind of trust their ability to make plays at the college level with De'Aaron aiding that, maybe more so than the offensive line. I think what maybe with the offensive line still struggling with a dominant performance. And I think too, if the running game gets going, I think sometimes when the running game's not going, it's because of the offensive line.
Right.
So I think that's, I guess I would, you know, yeah, it's tough, but I guess I would trust the receivers more.
Okay.
Even though the O-line has experience.
I think I would probably, again, it's like, I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I'd probably trust the O-line a little bit more right now, but I think it's an interesting discussion. And I'm not necessarily saying the O-line's like a super elite, great group. They got to make strides. They got to get better than they were last year. I guess I'm just not as high on the wide receiver group outside of Mike Harley, you know, but we'll see. I think we'll have a better understanding when we get to watch the spring game, how those receivers look.
Just jumping in now that I think about it real quick, Navon Donaldson as an addition. I don't think the wide receiver group has that addition. I don't think Rambo is that much of an impact the way that Navon will be on the O-line? So,
and I think Jalen, we'll see, but I think he can be a big time. Jalen Rivers can be a huge addition. So we'll see. He's got to beat out Ja'Kai. I think right now Ja'Kai is probably the starter, but if Jalen keeps coming, it's going to be a situation where they can't leave him on the bench. So we'll see how that plays out too. So let's take a break here. We shared some of our quick thoughts on the offense. Let's, on the other side, get into the defense, Chris.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
To the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back, and we're going to jump into the defensive side of the ball now, Chris. Again, you have the honors. Where do you want to start with this thing?
I want to start with Avante Williams at safety. I think what surprises me a little bit, and it's not that he's not talented. We expected that. It's just he's been kind of the talk of the spring with the defense, really. I'm kind of going through the list of defensive players, and to me, Avante Williams standing out, coaches like him, players – even fellow safeties, Garvin Hall, Amari Carter have talked really highly about him. His energy, we saw he had an interception in the scrimmage, so he's doing well there. So that's great to see. So I think it's Avante, and I think it's surprising to me in the sense that he's making this big of an impact based on what players and coaches are saying. I think you expect him to do well, but again, this is a group that returns its top three safeties from a year ago. But here's Avante, and you know, and also completely overshadowing the guys, the other safeties that have been here. You know, we're not really even hearing much about them. The other young guys on the staff, right, on the roster. So I think it's kind of the Avante, you know, he's been the talk of the spring. And I think that's been a little bit surprising, even though he's talented.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit it raised my eyebrows, right? When I think it was like after what, the second or third spring practice when Manny Diaz essentially said, yeah, Avante plays pedal to the metal, so fast, so hard, always around the ball. It almost reminds me of, you know, Jalen Phillips at this point last year when Jalen was kind of working his way back during spring football. But you could tell, oh, wow, this guy is supremely talented. If he starts putting it all together, he's going to be special. So the fact that Manny would even hint at that to me was surprising yet encouraging. I will say, you know, again, going back to the thing I said about Jake Garcia, right? Is Avante making plays with the first team defense? I don't think that's necessarily the case, but you know, again, baller's ball, right? You put Avante on the field, he finds a way to make plays, and it's going to be a matter of time before they start giving him those first team reps and seeing how he handles those situations, seeing how he does with the starters. And I don't think that's necessarily far away with him. Do you think, like, Chris, do you think he will get a legitimate, like, not maybe not a starter role, but do you think, like, we've seen Miami in recent years rotate three or four guys? You mentioned they returned three guys from last year that played a lot. Do you think Avante can crack that playing rotation, be a guy who plays maybe 20 or 30 defensive snaps here in 2021?
Yeah, I definitely could see it happening. And I think the big thing is that I feel like it's a wait and see approach with Amari Carter. And I know Coach Diaz mentioned they want to get through that first scrimmage. He's not talked about position change with Amari. But maybe you could see Amari kind of slide into a different role. Maybe I don't know, and I don't want to jump to that. That would certainly open the door up more for Avante. I think that's the biggest hurdle. I'm not very high on Garvin Hall, to be honest with you. I think he's an okay player. We've not heard this kind of gushing rave reviews about Garvin at this level at any point in his career. And we've seen what Gervin's been on the field. I think Gervin's okay. I just think Avante's really emerged. And what strikes me too is how hard he's playing. That's such a big thing.
Yeah.
Playing hard, because at the very least, this is a guy that should be able to make an impact on special teams. And I think that's a great thing. And, you know, how much he gets on defensive snaps, if they like the play of the safeties, if they feel like Amari and Gervin are giving them enough, you know, Avante won't play a ton, but it's certainly opening the door up for him in the future. And I feel like, you know, one play away, an injury or anything like that, or subpar play, and Avante could be right in there. And again, this is all playing alongside Bubba, because I think Bubba's going to play a ton and play the most, and he's got that thing locked up the other side.
Yeah, going back to when Avante was a recruit, right? The thing that stood out about him, besides this, the physical speed he played with, you know, he's just an alpha dog. He obviously loves football, loves coming up and smacking people, doesn't shy away from contact, can also cover you from the safety spot. So he's got that fluid athleticism. But the thing I'm encouraged by, right, is that it appears that he hasn't lost that alpha dog mentality, because, you know, he had to be held out of football, you know, from what, June, July until here in March, right, when they started getting back to spring football. So injuries can mess with guys mentally sometimes. So it's good to see that Avante still has that mentality about him, because that is one of his strengths as a player. He does love the game, and he's going to, like Manny Diaz said, he's going to play pedal to the metal. Anything else you want to add on Avante, or should we move on?
Just the things you're saying, what strikes me is that's not always the case. And
right,
even with talented players, sometimes it takes them a little bit, and sometimes, you know, they can't just earn the coach's trust immediately. It takes them some time. And I think I just want to make sure people understand that the things we're talking about Avante, it doesn't always, it's not like that with everybody, even if they are highly regarded coming out of high school. And it's certainly, if you're trying to pick out a trait and something you want to back and be a believer in, it's that hardworking, pedal to the metal, fast mentality type stuff that you're hearing, loving the game, the passion. And it's not just you saying it, or players are noticing it. So,
right.
It seems like things are opening up for him, and it's only April. We still got six more practices left. And, you know, the thinking of what he can finish the spring with, have another strong off season, fall camp. You know, I think that there's going to be a lead role or a large role for him if this continues, because it seems like it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. If he keeps playing this hard, he keeps showing this mentality, you know, there's guys that are returning. We talk about that a lot, but look, Miami's defense does need an upgrade. You know, they do need better play. And I think that they're not going to be able to rely on the defensive end play from last year. They're going to need to pick it up. And if you want to have one of these top three defenses in the ACC, it seems like mentality, ability, guys like Avante are what you need moving forward.
So you kind of transitioned into what I want to bring up now, and that's the defensive end play, right? And this should probably be expected, but I don't know if worried's the right word, but, you know, I'm cautiously watching that group, that defensive end group, just because there is a drop-off. Obviously, you lose a guy like Jalen Phillips, who now, you know, could be picked in the top half of the first round, and a guy like Quincy Roche, very, very good college player, could be selected in you know, maybe the second round, probably third, fourth is the fairest place to expect him to be picked, which obviously indicates he is a major talent on the college level. You know, just kind of what I'm hearing, you know, Miami had, like, basically what I'm hearing is, you know, people are saying, well, we certainly don't have what we had last year, right? Now, I think guys are flashing. I think, you know, some talent is showing. So they're not necessarily bereft of talent, but it's not consistent and it's not game changing. And I'll admit, like, my antenna kind of went up after that first scrimmage when Manny Diaz was, you know, he gave the media, the stats that we could use, right? And you know, typically when this has happened, there's a defensive end or two that are highlighted as racking up sacks or tackles for loss, et cetera, et cetera. And that wasn't the case. And maybe it was, just a missight by Manny to highlight someone. But so I kind of did a little bit of digging, and what I was told was what I just said earlier. You know, guys are flashing, but it's not quite there yet. I am curious if it will get there. I think it's a big summer. You know, you got guys like Zach McLeod still learning the position. They need some young guys, whether that's Chance Williams, Cam Williams, Jafari Harvey, who need to take that next step. Guys, those guys are certainly athletic, but they need to start having that athleticism turn into production. And so I guess what I'm getting at is I think this could be the least productive edge group we've seen of the Manny Diaz era, which, you know, look, it's been a high level every year. You know, it's kind of been in that B plus A minus range for five straight years now. Is it going to be in that range in 2021? I would probably say, hopefully it's in that B minus range, but I think that's why we're hearing so much, you know, beyond, you know, obviously last year, the run defense wasn't good enough, right? So that needs to improve, of course. But I think another layer to that is they know, hey, if we can stop the run, we will make our pass rusher, we will put our pass rushers in much easier situations to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And so then, you know, they can generate those negative plays that way. So I'm just a little concerned about defensive end in general. But again, it's a young group. We'll see how they progress during the summer and even in the spring game. We'll see how it all looks. And I'm curious what your thoughts are from that position group, Chris.
I think when you mentioned the thing about the stats, one of the things too of not getting the sacks, the way they tally it typically is they kind of give the benefit of the doubt that it is going to be a sack because they just stop the play and let the, you know, instead of hitting the quarterback, so they give the guy the sack. So the fact that it almost feels like it's inflated at times. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it wasn't mentioned, that does kind of stand out. I just think this group, and we talk about it, you know, who's going to be the most productive guy? And it's hard to pick out a guy because they don't need to have the three first, you know, the three productive players that they had, you know, Rousseau, Jalen and Quincy. They don't have to have one of those, but do they have that next tier of a productive guy, a productive season, whether it's a Joe Jackson, Jonathan Garvin type, even a Trent Harris type? And it just feels like if we were to guess, like all those guys still seem to be behind, the guys they have now seem to be behind what those guys brought to the team at this point. I think one of the things that stands out to me too is, I don't know about you, but it feels like Zach McLeod is legitimately in this mix. It feels like could legitimately be a starter. And yes. I think when people hear that, they're like, wait, what? Why is a linebacker able to jump right in? And I think to me, it stands out that they don't have a defensive end or a couple that they feel completely comfortable and confident in. So that's why Zach's going to be in the mix. And I think that is more of a telling sign, you know, and who knows if Zach's going to be able to be productive at that spot. And we'll see how it goes, but I just think it's more on the other guys. And I think what stands out to me, we talked about some young guys. I think Jafari Harvey, I mean, let's go, right? Like this is, you've been here a few years, like let's get it going. This is his year really. And what we've seen in years past at Miami is when guys get the opportunity to play, they typically do well and perform. That's usually how it goes. So, you know, whether they didn't have production before, it's usually because they weren't in the mix that much. They didn't have the playing time is what I'm saying. So Harvey in there, let's go, let's see it. Let's see what he can do. This is his time, year three. And you know, we've not heard, it almost feels like when we ask about him, it kind of feels like they'll talk about him, but it's his name doesn't get brought up all that often.
Organically.
Does that make sense? Like,
yep.
And I think people should understand some of the times you read the answer, you're like, well, why didn't they talk about, well, the question was not asked about that. I think there's some of that goes on, but just kind of telling you guys or kind of helping with the process. Sometimes we ask open-ended questions. Hey, how's defensive end doing? They say it. How's so-and-so doing? And they'll say that. We haven't heard not just this spring, just in general, it's been more kind of asked specifically about him. But he's the guy to me, and I've, you know, I've talked a lot about the linebacker. I think this front seven has a lot of question marks, frankly.
Yeah.
That defensive end, and you know, you kind of, it feels like it's kind of flipped, right? It feels like the defensive backs have had a lot of attention on them.
Yeah.
And I understand it, but really, I think of the three groups, I think it's the best group.
Yes.
I don't think it's close. I think that the secondary is the best of the three, and I think the other two have a lot of, I think they've got a lot of work to do to be quality units.
I do think, you know, it is worth noting, right? This Manny Diaz defense is extremely friendly to defensive ends, right? It's not necessarily hard to produce because the positions you're put in within this defense. I think every year they've had a defensive end total at least 8 sacks in a season, right? So I guess, let me just ask you this and we can move on to your next talking point, Chris. But if you were going to say a defensive end over under 7.5 sacks, at least one defensive end, whoever it is on the team this year, would you pick the over or under on that?
Yeah, I would go with the under. And I think maybe you have a guy that get a couple sacks early in the year and all of a sudden you think, oh, he'll definitely get 10. I just, at this point, I'd have to say under. I'm still waiting to see if these guys can produce.
I don't disagree. I need to see more. You know, I'm very curious how they look in the spring game. So we'll see. We'll see how, you know, the type of pressure Harvey puts on, how Zach McLeod looks, you know, now that he's been working there for a few months, you know, with the new weight he's put on, et cetera. So it's a big question mark, in my opinion, and it's obviously a very important position in this Manny Diaz defense. All right, Chris, what do you want to jump into now?
I guess my other takeaway on defense is, I guess we'll just start with go with Corey Flagg, linebacker. And it's the way that people are talking about him. It's not necessarily, I think he's got, to me, he's got stuff to prove. I'm still a little cautious of his athletic ability, frankly.
Sure.
The lack of flat out speed kind of concerns me. However, the way that the teammates and coaches are talking about him, it seems like he's going to be their starting middle linebacker. It seems like he's doing all the right things, stays, you know, after practice, or he's always in the facility. I remember coaches talking about that this spring, that he's always around. To his point, I just mentioned his speed. Corey mentioned when he had an interview with us that it's something he's working on. He shed some weight. He knows, he feels like it's okay. Like he feels like he can get sideline, you know, get there. He just feels like it needs to improve a little bit more. So to his point, to his credit, he knows it's an area he wants to improve on. And we'll see how a guy that's known for his hard work in the off season and those kind of things, those intangibles that are so valuable, we'll see how he does. And, you know, he doesn't need to, you know, be this flat out guy that flies around like a Rocky McIntosh or Tavares Gooden type or anything like that. But just being, having that quality speed, I think is going to be important. I think it's important for this defense because of the way they implement that essentially the third linebacker, you know, that striker spot, with having that two true linebackers on the field quite a bit. You've got to have guys that can go sideline to sideline. So, but it just seems like Corey, I think that's a takeaway. I think he's really, you know, we haven't heard much about Jennings, and Jennings started all the games there last year, and all the talk is about all the things that Corey's doing well and talking and communicating. I think it was I forget what the player, so I don't want to say the name, but just feels like he's walking around like a veteran, like he's been there a long time based on how vocal he's been.
Last year, the play at middle linebacker wasn't good enough, right? That's fairly obvious. Just not enough production. Just very, very poor. Do you think, you know, do you think with Corey Flagg there, will the play improve? Do you expect improvement in 2021? Now, I'm not saying, is it to the Miami standard? Because I think that's a different conversation. But, you know, let's say the middle linebacker play last year graded out at a D, right? Do you expect this year's middle linebacker play to improve?
I think Corey's a guy that strikes me as he's going to keep improving individually, with experience, with time, with progression in the off season. If you're around and working hard so often, so much, I think he's going to improve. So whether that shows up early in the season, I'm not sure if it's there, but I think as he gets real experience, he got some last year at times, but being the guy is a lot different than just filling in whenever possible. So I think he could improve it. I think maybe you know, with his instincts, tackling ability, I think maybe up, runs up the middle, he could be better. You know, maybe they improve at that spot, just with a little bit more bulk, a little bit more instincts there. Maybe he can shed blocks a little bit better than what Jennings was doing last year. And then McLeod obviously making that transition, not at linebacker anymore. So we'll see who else is there. So I think the, you'd like to say that the play can improve. We'll see how it goes though.
Yeah. The next talking point I want to get to, but before we get out of here, Chris, is that other linebacker spot, right? The weak side spot. And quite frankly, I don't know what to make of it. I honestly don't know if Miami knows what to make of it. Which again, I'm not reporting anything, but I would not be surprised if an intriguing option enters in the transfer portal if Miami makes a move for that weak side linebacker spot. But in terms of the guys that are there this spring, the guys that are going through spring football, it seems like Sam Brooks is limited, right? So it seems like he's still dealing with his toe thing that kind of plagued him all of last year. And maybe that explains why he didn't necessarily take a step forward in 2020 in general with his play. But he appears to be kind of limited with what he can do this spring, which is tough because this would have been a nice time for him to develop. And it seems like Wayman Steed and Avery Huff might be splitting some of the first team reps. Avery Huff, very talented in terms of athleticism. The coaches have always been frank about what has held him back from playing. And I guess it's his understanding of how to fit within the defense. Right. So take that how you want to take that. I don't know. Manny Diaz prides himself on playing a simplistic style of defense. But I guess, you know, to this point, it hasn't necessarily clicked with Avery Huff, but Avery did get praise following the first scrimmage, right? Which I think, you know, is somewhat encouraging if the most athletic linebacker on the roster starts getting praise. So what do you make of this situation at weak side linebacker? Are you concerned?
Yeah, sure. But the thing, not just that he got praise, but it was that he got praise in the area he needed to work on the most. They really praised his ability from the mental side of knowing where to be and those kinds of things. And I think that's really, it feels like the first time that we've heard him getting praise in that area of his play. And they, you know, yeah, it was noted, look, he's also showing that athleticism and speed that they are mentioning that still stands out. So it's a good sign for the Avery Huff fans and for Avery himself that if he's essentially just starting to get it, understand it, he could easily be a guy that they feel comfortable in if they feel like he's running in the right direction, frankly. So good sign for him. He's one of those guys that I'm very curious to see because I do think if he finishes out the spring, does well in the summer, I could see him certainly being there because they have to look at the weakness of the defense last year and some of the struggles that they had against the run. And some of it had to do with not being able to get to the sideline fast enough, have enough speed. And they've made some of these other adjustments of what they want with their defense. Whether it's different guys, if they are going to go with flag and make a move there, maybe they look at Avery, like, look, we've got to have a speed guy out there.
Right.
Let's go with that. I'm intrigued by that. You could see the staff looking at that. So I think Avery, he's the one to watch. And he hasn't always been clearly. I think with Brooks, yeah, he's limited. They revealed that he's still limited. So we'll see. I could certainly see him earning that spot in the fall. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But right now, I think Avery's the one to watch for.
Would you be surprised? And again, it has to be the right guy, right? They're not going to just go chase anyone in the portal. Would you be surprised if they entertained a portal option, you know, during the summer, if one popped in the portal?
Not surprising the fact that they need to upgrade. However, it's kind of an interesting spot to upgrade at that spot. I felt like they would have done that before, but they really feel like they're okay at linebacker and they really like Corey, it seemed like. So they really just want to give him a shot. It's an interesting spot to just jump right in, but I don't know. I'm kind of either way. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get someone even though like I felt like going into the portal, going into the offseason, if I were to pick one position for Miami to get somebody, it was linebacker. But I'm just kind of like reading between it. And it kind of seems like I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of stayed pat with it.
Last thing, do you feel better about the situation at middle or at weak side?
Well, they feel better at middle. I feel like they like Corey a lot more. I feel like it's such a big position to do well, even though with the two linebackers, the way they run their defense, you know, there's a lot of attention on both spots and they're key. I just feel like, I don't know if hiding is the right term to use, but maybe you can get by with the linebacker with some speed at that weak side spot. It's kind of harder to mask or to cover up a middle linebacker that's not producing and doing well, that doesn't have all of the attributes that you need. But again, Corey's a guy that they like with him working hard and all of those things. So if he's going to be the guy, maybe he can kind of turn into a productive player. But I just think the middle linebacker spot, I would always want to have that position legitimately solidified without question marks. I would feel more comfortable with that. And I think you could get someone to play alongside that middle linebacker a lot easier than really just filling that spot. But it's kind of reverse. So I would feel more comfortable in whoever deciding to put at the weak side would probably be my answer. Once again, even though that it definitely feels like it's reversed from the staff's point of view.
Yeah, I like the idea of Corey Flagg, right? You know, seems like a football junkie. Seems like he really wants to work hard at improving, like you said. But again, you know, football is all about big, fast, strong in a lot of ways. So we'll see if Corey can take the next step in that regard in reshaping his body and improving his speed sub, like he said, quite frankly, this spring. So he embraces that process and we'll see if he can get there. Yeah, I think this was a fun conversation, Chris, catching up on some spring football. We got what? I think maybe 6 more practices before off-season football gets wrapped up. I think they'll have another scrimmage here this weekend and then the spring game at Hard Rock Stadium on April 17th. So there's going to be plenty more of football news and nuggets coming out here over the next 2 weeks. Stay locked on to InsideTheU.com for all the great content. Check out everyone on Twitter. Chris, if you haven't checked it out, does a good job on the YouTube page. You know, given the latest updates on football and other sports as well. So stay locked in. Thanks everyone for listening. I think maybe on the next podcast, we'll touch a little bit on recruiting. We'll have Gabby on with us. And as things are starting to get set up in terms of official visits and top 6, top 8, top 10 lists with these recruits. So we'll dive into that on the next podcast. And thanks, Chris. This was a fun one.
All right. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.